Good morning and welcome to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Today we have three services and you are invited to them all. Pastoral news. Children's school holidays have started, which is an exciting time for many, but please pray for families that find these times tricky. Next Sunday is our combined service, and it will be followed by a bring and share lunch, not a formal church meeting. We need some Good Friday helpers for the serving of tea and coffee. If you feel you can volunteer, please could you let Margaret Golding know? Margaret, can you pop your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Paper copies of church news are now available for collection in the vestibule. Please take your service paper home after this service. And there's so much information on the back page. We've had a thank you from Christian Aid when we contributed to the cyclone appeal. And we gave £308, of which £254 was gift aided. And Christian Aid are showing their thanks to us. And finally, Leslie would like to say something.
Right. I know you're anxious. I'm not coming to you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. But I'm coming to you. Up you get. Up you get. Up you get. Were you listening? Were you sitting there listening to the radio? This is Hansol. Right. Try it. Hansol. Cover your ears because I'm going to say something terrible now. Like and Gretel. Yes. 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 Okay. Sorry. Forgive me for that. But it's really helpful to us. Hansol is a musician and she's here with us for a year. She's a music scholar and make her welcome, Hansol. God bless you. Whereas, up you get, this woman is so young. So young. And her job is working with North Korean people. Yep. Are we clear? Everybody happy? Thank you very much. Have a seat. Let us join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. Rejoice, for God has done great things. How blessed are those who obey the Lord, who live by God's commands. We join to sing, as the deer pants for the water.
Thank you.
Good point. Thank you, Maddie. Let's. I'm thinking, what's that woman doing standing there? Let's say the psalm. When the Lord brought us back to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. How we laughed, how we sang for joy when the other nations said about us, the Lord did great things for them. Indeed, God did great things for us. How happy we were. Lord, make us prosperous again, just as the rain brings water back to dry riverbeds. Let those who wept as they planted their crops gather the harvest with joy. Those who wept as they went out carrying the seed will come back singing for joy as they bring in the harvest. We join to pray. With all our hearts, we come to worship you. With all our minds, we offer you our praise. With our whole being, we honor you. Lord, guide us as we press on towards the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ, that we would recognize that you are God of all of us. There are not bits of our lives that are out with your concern. There are not people that you do not care about. We are sorry for the times when we have judged the actions of others without thinking about why they acted as they did. We are sorry for the times when we were so focused on our personal agenda that we fail to see that others have valid agendas too. We are sorry for the times when we spoke out without thinking about the impact of our words on others. Forgive us. Anoint us with the oil of your love. Lord, may we be forgiven, and may we receive your forgiveness. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Do you want this? That. Okay.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm going to teach the children a new word today. It's a rather long, slightly difficult word, but that's okay. We can learn it. It'll be fun. But first, I'm going to get the adults to help us guess what it is. I'm hoping it'll be quite easy for the adults, but we can give extra clues if necessary. Okay, so on the screen, thank you, Stuart, there's going to be a word. Begins with E, ends in E, and it means unconstrained wastefulness. Shh, don't shout out. That's what I always tell the children. So have a think. Some people knew what it was straight away. Some people have got a slightly puzzled look on their face. Okay, people who think they know what it is, hands up. I'll come and get someone. Coming to a new person.
Is it extravagance?
It is extravagance. Give that man a round of applause. Well done. It means unconstrained wastefulness, behaviour in which you spend more money than you need to or can afford. Or it might mean, these are dictionary definitions, second definition, luxury, indulgence, giving something extra, a bit of a treat. Or it could mean excessive and over the top. When we behave in a way that's a bit over the top, we do more than people might think that we need to. Now, children, can you say that word? Extravagance. That's right. We're going to be thinking about that word when we go into the hall. Now, let me try and demonstrate extravagance. I've got a bag of... Isn't it amazing how their attention suddenly kicks in? It's just incredible. It's like 0.1 seconds. I've got a bag of giant milk chocolate buttons. If I open this bag and I decide to share it with the children, sorry, grown-ups, and I give you one, maybe two buttons each, that would be kind. If I said, right, I'm going to give each of you one whole bag of buttons each, that would be generous. If I said, I'm going to give each of you 10 whole bags of buttons each, because I love you so much, and I just want to show that I love you so much, that would be extravagance. Also craziness. But we're thinking about the word extravagant, not crazy, today. Okay, so that's kind of where we're going with our thinking today. And in today's story, we're going to meet a lady who some people said was extravagant. But we're going to see what Jesus thought. And hopefully you can decide for yourselves whether what she did showed extravagance or not. Can you say that word? Extravagance. Well done. We're going to sing. I've forgotten what we're going to sing. Sorry. Brother, sister, let me serve you. So she will sing this, and then we'll go next door, and then we'll come back in a bit later.
Thank you.
See you later. Strange story, this, and we get it in a number of different places in a number of slightly different forms. Here in John's Gospel, Mary of Bethany, who anoints Jesus with perfumed oil. How many of you, I'm not going to make you put your hands up, but how many of you worked out what the scripture would be when she, one or two spots at the front putting their hands up. I'd worked out what the scripture was going to be. Anyway, here we go. From John's Gospel, chapter 12, and Bethany really will read this to us.
Six days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from death. They prepared a dinner for him there, where Martha helped to serve. Lazarus was one of those who were sitting at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took half a litre of very expensive wine, very expensive perfume made of pure nard, poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The sweet smell of the perfume filled the whole house. One of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, the one who was going to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 silver coins and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would help himself from it. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep what she has for the day of my burial. You will always have poor people with you, but you will not always have me."
So there's clearly a parallel, a number of parallels in other scriptural stories. The story in Luke with Martha in the kitchen and Mary at the Lord's feet. But this story takes it a bit further. And the anointing, there's also the parallel with the anointing that happens in the house of Simon the leper. So in the time of Jesus, the time when there was anointing was when the king was crowned, when the king was buried. So here we have a bit of a sign that Jesus is crowned on his way to death. This pound of perfume is about a year's pay for a manual worker. That's the sort of money we're talking about here. So when we use the word extravagance, a year's pay, it's a lot. It's a wildly extravagant gesture. It is a wildly extravagant gesture, so unlike the balanced lives that most of us lead. "Give all thou canst, high heaven rejects the law of nicely calculated less or more. Give all thou canst, high heaven rejects the law of nicely calculated less or more." Wordsworth, from King's College, Cambridge. Being a follower of Jesus is everything. It is not a bit, it is all. It is all that we are. We lay it out. We sacrifice day by day. We remember what we have received, and it motivates us to love. Being a follower of Jesus is not like the measured bargain that we usually have when we buy something. It is the overwhelming wave of love when you encounter a newly born child or you are in love for the first time. The times when you would give anything, do anything, not the fighting over the armrest and who made the tea last sort of love, but the gush of passion. That's what we see in this reading. Love that is unconscious. Love that is humble. Love that is a crazy giving thing. And the wiping of her of the feet with her hair makes it look as though she's a prostitute. Someone who's used to being on the outside, rejected. And now this man treats her like she is worth something. And she's overwhelmed by it. And those of us who've never been rejected, never been abused, we just can't imagine the joy of the flip side. We expect to be cared for, regarded, and kept safe. That's our experience. Who wouldn't love me? But to be loved when you've been abused, to be treated with tenderness when you have been brutalized, she's overwhelmed by love. But then Jesus goes on and makes a comment about always having the poor with you. So there is a challenge about living a wise life with this teaching. What does it mean? Surely being a follower of Jesus is not about selling your house, giving all the money to charity, and making yourself street homeless. That's not what being a follower of Jesus is about. It's not the call here. So why did Jesus object to money being given, not being given to the poor? The question is whether the comment is actually about giving or not giving to the poor. Is it maybe about being snarky, mean-spirited in the extravagant gesture of another? We all know what it is to have done something and other people ridicule us. So we as readers of the account already know what sort of man Judas is. We know where it is heading. This is coals on his head. Judas, we learn, is a thief as well as everything else. And he sees this act of extravagant loveliness and he calls it a waste. He has a bitter, dark heart. He does not grab a hanky, dab his eyes. He points. He mocks. Did she fill in the forms? Did she have the appropriate permission? No, she did not. Could she afford it? Don't know that either. Where did she get the money from? What dodgy things has she done to raise this cash? Wag those fingers. The history of our morality has looked more like Judas than Jesus. Measuring, giving to the deserving poor and only them. So when we come to this table, please excuse the pitiful cube of bread and the thimble of the red stuff, wine. Please excuse the smallness of the measure. These are small symbols, tiny symbols of a massive sacrifice and a huge love. God has come to earth because God loves you. Not the person beside you. Yes, he loves them, but he loves you. You have not earned this. All your struggles, all your offerings, all your best efforts, you have not earned this. It is given freely to you. God, who knows what we have done, God, who knows all that we've done, and God loves us. So eat at this table and know your value. And then, when we leave this place, let us go with the spirit of generosity to others, because God loves them too. And this demonstration of love is why Jesus gave his life. Let us pray. Let us pray for those who serve their neighbours, putting their own lives at risk. Those who run into buildings that are on fire. Those who face those as police officers in the Coast Guard. Those who work in accident and emergency and a whole range of medical services. Uphold and strengthen them, loving God. Let us pray for those who serve their neighbours and do it in ways that are usually taken for granted. Those who work in shops, cafes, restaurants. Those who clean our drains, collect our litter, empty our bins. Where would we be without them? They are honoured and valued, generous God. Let's pray for all who serve their neighbours and those who serve our neighbours overseas. Those who work for aid agencies. Those who work to develop businesses. Those who work for a range of charities. Let's pray for all who serve their neighbours, those who are called to serve you through the institution of the church, pray for those who work within this building. Let us pray for all those who in their retirement and their voluntary work, in their paid employment, in their family lives, have challenges in serving you with a generous heart. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I know people give in a range of different ways. For those of you who, this is a scheme which is the weekly offering scheme, which means that you put in money in an envelope, and it means that on those Sundays when you are not here, knowing that the working life of the church goes on when you are not here, you can still make your contribution. So if you are interested in that scheme, as well as giving directly through your bank, through the range of different ways that we can give, through the internet, we would facilitate for you. And if you would like to be part of this scheme, please speak to me and we will organise you envelopes. So now, let us continue to make our worship tangible as we make our offering. So let us pray. We love you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of our eye. Receive these gifts. Receive our lives. Receive bread and wine as a symbol that we offer everything. Amen. We join to sing, "Let us break bread together in the Lord," 452. We do not fence this table. We do not believe it is ours. We believe it is the Lord's. And he who has come to give himself would eat and drink with each one of us. If you would rather not, then please pass the elements by. But the invitation is to all who love the Lord Jesus. So the way that we do communion within this United Reformed Church is that the elders will bring the bread to you. When you get the bread, would you, after a moment, eat it? And for those of us who've got issues around wheat and gluten, there is provision in these wee fish. And when you get the wine, would you hold it, and then we can all drink together. And there's no alcohol. So for those of us who have issues with alcohol, we may all drink. So hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. "I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So in the name of the Lord Jesus and following his example, we take bread, we take wine, and we give thanks. Let us pray. We praise you, Lord our God, with songs of joy and acclamation. You fill our hearts with laughter, and we rejoice in you. You are the one who turns our tears into gladness. You fill our lives with your Spirit, and we rejoice in you. Thank you. For all that gives life meaning. For times of passion and delight. For times when love has welled up within us. When we have danced as though nobody was watching and sung as though we were on our own. Thank you. Thank you that you are God who will mend our broken hearts with love and acceptance and fill our lives with joy, for we rejoice in you. Thank you for coming and walking the earth as Jesus. Thank you for giving your life and dying on the cross. And thank you for resurrection that says that death is not the final statement on the matter. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts, that this bread would be for us as the body of Christ, and this wine as the blood of Christ, and that we would know as we eat and drink that we are united with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, and united with that great company of saints, of those who have gone before us in the faith, and united with one another. Thanks be to you, our God, for now and into eternity. Amen. Let us remember that it was in the face of death, knowing where this was heading, that the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." And then the cup after supper. "This is my blood," he said. "It is shed for you." The body of Christ. Let us pray. On the ordinary road of our lives, the everyday and the mundane, at this table, we stop. For you have been generous, extravagant, ridiculous in love for us. May we respond by sharing our love with you and with one another, and with all those that we are called to love. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our final hymn is number 277, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. So let us go from this place and worship God in the world through our prayers, through our words, through our actions, and through our living, and know that God receives it with joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.